Chicago Cubs postgame show on the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
I'm having a heart attack.
Well, maybe the Blackhawks could have loaned the Cubs a couple of goals.
You know, the Chicago Cubs, if you're just joining us right now, lost 6-0 to the
LA. Are you crying?
Not yet, no. You know that Rich Hill, who pitched for the Dodgers tonight and shut out the Cubs in his time on the mound, he was, you know, this time last year pretty much, he was pitching for the Atlanta League's Long Island Ducks. It's also a former Cub. That's who shut you out tonight. I just want to mention that as we get going here. I know it's going to be a very uplifting post-game show and at one moment. I think there'll be one positive moment in the next 2 hours.
One positive? Well, we'll see if we can get there. This is True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking, and by Sloan Water Connects Us. My name is Adam Hoag. That is Mark Carman.
I've spent the last 2 hours with Andy Mazur.
Yes, you did.
I don't think we said one positive thing in the 2 hours.
Well, what was there be said that was positive?
Well, we did do some good Twitter posts.
We were having some fun on Twitter tonight.
You can have some. You can check it out at the Carm on Twitter. Have I ever mentioned my Twitter on the show? Never. Show before?
First time for anything.
So the Cubs aren't hitting, right?
At all.
I've heard that, yeah.
Zippo hit-o.
It's one thing to get shut out by Clayton Kershaw.
Shut out in back-to-back games for the first time all year.
Rich Hill?
Back-to-back games for the first time all year.
All right, here's where I want to go, Carm. Because last year, you and I were
sitting in
this studio, the Allstate Showcase studio, here on Michigan Avenue.
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because it feels like last year right now.
Well,
it shouldn't, but go ahead.
They got swept by the Mets, and I could not believe how calm you were. And I came in here ready to, I mean,
well,
they weren't even competitive in that series. I understood expectations in the season. I understood that it was okay losing.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't even competitive. That was my problem. They got swept out, like they laid down, and that was it.
Well, they laid down tonight.
And here we are again, though. You're going through your lineup. You had four hits against Rich Hill. And actually, one of those hits was Rizzo finally getting a hit off of Kenley Jansen.
That broken bat?
Doesn't count. I mean, it counts, but it doesn't count. You had a broken bat single.
That's my point. I mean, come on. You had this guy on the ropes in the second inning.
That was the biggest at-bat of the game.
Who came up in that inning?
I believe Addison Russell. Andy Mazur saying don't play Russell tonight?
Okay, here's your positive thought. Rizzo's at-bat to start that inning was excellent.
It was the best at-bat he's had all playoff.
Probably. He worked the count. He fought some pitches off. You know, he swung at some balls, but he was fighting them off and making sure the at-bat was still going. And he walked. It was a great start to the inning. And then Baez pops out to second.
0-for-4 in the 5-hole tonight, Javi Baez.
And Soler, actually the only good thing he's really done all playoff.
He had a good at-bat, too.
Gets on base with a walk. And your guy, Addison Russell, strikes out.
Well, and the big thing in that at bat, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm getting a little fuzzy right now, but wasn't Russell ahead of the count at one point in that at bat? Am I wrong about that? Doesn't matter. Whatever. I think it was a 3-1 count.
Well, he was ahead because there was a ball thrown past Yasmani Grandal.
It was at least
a pass ball.
Right.
And runners were at second and third. And we're talking with one out. You just put the ball in play and a run is going to come in. You cannot advance a runner with a strikeout.
Well, and listen, when you're scuffling like the Cubs are right now, getting shut out by Clayton Kershaw,
they found him no matter where he was in the lineup. They're gonna find him.
Yeah, well, that's right. You have the wrong guy up at the most important time, and that's what happened with Addison Russell.
I mean, if you're getting pinch hit by Jason Hayward,
did you see that at bat
in the seventh inning?
Yeah, that was a good morning, good afternoon,
and
good night.
All I was thinking about during that at bat was you, Carm.
Well, Jason Hayward comes up to pinch hit for Addison Russell in the seventh. Fastball down the middle, strike one. Fastball down the middle, strike two. Curveball in the dirt, swinging strike three.
No, not in the dirt. It was going to hit his right foot.
Yeah, it bounced.
Yeah,
it was going to hit him.
Yeah.
I mean, looking, swinging. So, listen, if you're Joe Maddon right now, let's be honest, your team. Not a lot of options. You moved Zobrist up tonight to hit third.
I think I would rather see Almora hit, though, in that situation than Hayward.
It's funny you say that because I put together a quote-unquote lineup for tomorrow, which we'll get to later, because I ran it by Carm, and Adam, I'll run it by you a little bit later, but there really aren't any options right now. The thing is this. This is an offensive team that averaged over 5 runs a game in the regular season. They're under 3 now in the postseason, with a batting average under 200. Actually, under 100 over the last 2.5 games. So it really just comes down to this. Pride in your at-bats. Doing what they did the entire regular season, which I'm not seeing. Everybody's trying to be a hero, and I get it. I get it. It's admirable. But at the same time, this is a team game. You can't hit a grand slam with nobody on base. I know that that's shocking news to everybody. They have not changed the rules of baseball because the Cubs are struggling at the plate. You have to do what you did all year. And you know, we'll hear from Joe Maddon a little bit later. I saw a kind of a preview of what he said. And basically what he'll say is it's a much more a mental thing right now than it is a physical thing. And that's disheartening.
Right. Apparently the Cubs dugout tonight was as quiet as it's been all season long, which you would imagine when you're getting shut out and no one's doing anything. But there is, and let's remind ourselves, let me remind myself, it's 2 games.
Well, yeah, that's the truth.
So, I mean,
here's what I want to make clear. Being down 2-1 is not the end of the world.
No.
Being down 2-1 with the evidence we have, not just in this series, but going back to last series, of this offense.
That's a good point.
The slumping the way it is. That's what, it is okay to worry.
Oh, yeah, you did.
We were on the air 2 nights ago after game 2, and I said, I'm not worried yet. No reason to be worried. But what did I say? I think I called this game a must win. Now, I don't want to get into semantics about what must win means. Obviously, the season's not over, and they ended up losing it. But to me, it was a must win because you can't lose the Rich Hill game with Arrieta opposite Rich Hill. You can't lose that game. Now you have to beat Clayton Kershaw twice. Or I'm sorry, at least once. You have to beat Clayton Kershaw at least once to win this series.
Well, hold on a second. Let's do the math there. If they win game 4, and they don't have to beat him. You can still win game 4, and then you got to win the other 2 that he doesn't pitch, right?
No, because he's going to pitch game 5.
He'll pitch game 5 if the Dodgers win tomorrow, which, to add on further meaning to tomorrow's game, if it's 3-1...
I would think the only situation he doesn't pitch game 5 is if they're up 3-1.
See, now, no, I think they'll use him up 3-1 because I don't think they want to take a chance with what they have left at that point. I think they want to go for the kill
We need to take our first break here, and I want to get some phone calls. 312-981-7200. This is your time to vent, Cubs fans. But, yeah, let's have that conversation when we come back about what the Dodgers might do here with their pitching staff. I don't think there's any way to win the series without beating Clayton Kershaw, though, at this point. This is True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking, and by Sloan Water Connexus. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur here with you till midnight, and we'll stick around a little bit after that with Patty Vasquez. It's 720 WGA.
True Blue Playoff Plus. I'm not a batting coach. My name's Mark Carmen. You're Adam Hogue.
You are not a batting coach.
I'm not, but I can tell you this. The Chicago Cubs are better than what they're showing at the plate right now. So whatever adjustments need to be made, Anthony Rizzo, Addison Russell, Ben Zobrist, Dexter Fowler, the list is long here. Tonight's the night you got to get with yourself, right? I mean, you're sitting in your hotel room out in L.A. You're down 2-1. You haven't hit all series. Some of them haven't hit all playoff. I don't know how much time you need to spend watching film. I don't know who you need to talk to about what's going on, what expert you want to dial up, whatever hitting coach that you connected with most in your life, but that's what I would be doing if I was one of those guys. What are you seeing? What am I doing? How do I approach tomorrow night an absolute must-win for the Chicago Cubs?
I would be very curious to find out if at any point tonight after this game has ended that David Ross hasn't gathered these guys around and said, okay, because he went through this obviously in 2013 with the Red Sox, winning a championship, that is, and this is the most respected guy on his team. Sometimes it comes to that. Sometimes one of your peers have to just kind of step up and say, listen, guys, we've been doing this all year long. What's going on? Get out of your own heads.
Maybe that guy should play more.
Well, that's the thing. Who do you start a catcher tomorrow?
I start him tomorrow. I start Ross tomorrow.
I kind of agree.
See,
it's not like Contreras has been killing it.
He was way hotter than.
Hey, look, they're going to try to run on Lackey tomorrow too.
Yeah, they are.
Montero bounced that throw in today. I've got no problems with Miguel Montero. I mean, obviously, we're talking about a 3-0 situation here if it's not for Montero.
Contreras was catching Lackey, though, a bunch this year.
I understand that. But you know what? Right now, for consistency and for
offense, man. Okay, I hear you.
He hit a home run.
David Ross is. That's what I'm saying. You put him in for offense. I know that sounds crazy, but.
If you're gonna start Ross, see it just if you start Ross right, then you're hitting him eighth or seventh.
Yeah, I'm hitting him eighth.
Okay, you're hitting him eighth. Then are you starting Russell? Because then you have a potential.
I'm with Andy now. I think.
Yeah.
I think Russell needs a night off.
Do you want me to go through my potential?
Let's do it.
Go ahead. 312-981-7200. Please call and just talk to me.
My pretend lineup tomorrow includes Dexter Fowler.
I'm hurting, Hogue.
Dexter Fowler in center. Zobrist at second base. Bryant at third base, Rizzo at first base.
But you know he's not going to knock. He's not
Baez at shortstop.
Wait, start from the top. Give it to him one more time.
Let's do this a little slower.
Fowler in center.
Okay.
Dexter Fowler.
Zobrist, Ben, second base.
So okay. You're moving him up.
Yep.
Okay.
Bryant, Chris, third base.
Okay.
Rizzo, Anthony, first base. Baez, Javier, shortstop. Contreras, Wilson with two L's in left field. Almora Jr., Albert, right field. Ross, David, catching. Lackey, John, didn't come for the haircut, wants the jewelry pitching.
Well, that's an aggressive lineup.
That's a
lot of
young
movement.
Lineup.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The young guys have been getting it done all year long.
Yeah, but you're going Baez, Contreras, and
Almora.
Almora all in there.
Mm-hmm.
And listen,
I don't hate it.
Takes a village.
I don't hate it at all.
I have no answers on what to do with the lineup.
It's a day late for the Russell thing, probably. Okay. Now it looks like a panic move. I mean, today's game, if he's sitting, I think it's more of a natural situation against a curveball type of pitcher.
Can you trust him? Because if he's going to be on your bench, you're going to need him to pinch hit.
Yeah, it's the truth. I get it. I mean, it's not there's it's
but
not
that's
ideal.
What he needs.
It's not ideal right now. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes a guy coming off the bench cold, without a chance to sit there and dwell upon a strikeout in the second inning or a pop out in the fourth inning, he's been sitting watching a big league baseball game and kind of getting into it and realizing, okay, I'm probably going to face this guy at this situation. And you work at it. You go and you take some soft toss in the cage. You watch a little video.
If you want to give a moment of hope to Addison Russell and his troubles at the plate.
He did hit the ball hard.
He hit a ball to right field. He hit it fairly hard, which if he had done that in the second inning, it would have been a run. So there was that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we talked about what Dave Roberts is going to do. This is a piece from Doug Padilla, who used to work in this town, mm-hmm. now out in L.A. covering the Dodgers.
By the way, after the hard hit ball that Russell hit, I'll reiterate, they pinched hit with Hayward.
Yes, they did. Next time around, Jason Hayward pit. Right after that, they show the dugout. Addison Russell is being consoled by Anthony Rizzo. The mm-hmm. two of them just standing there. It's like, I know that Jason Hayward pinch hit for you. It's really rough for you right now.
All right, what did Dougie P say?
This is what Dougie P wrote. Should the Cubs win game four at Dodger Stadium, leaving the series tied or two, Dave Roberts, Dodger manager, said Kershaw's appearance in game five less likely. But if the Dodgers win game four and are on the verge of clinching a World Series berth, God forbid, then anything is possible with the rotation. So you really are fighting for your don't face Clayton Kershaw in game five life tomorrow.
You're also fighting to play another game in this series at Wrigley Field.
Yep. Which, you know, that now you start saying that, I think of 1989, they go out to San Francisco. That series was lopsided, but they have just been able to get it back to Wrigley. I actually felt like they have a chance. Mm-hmm. This series right now, I mean, it's just such a roller coaster right now. You're riding so high coming off the Giants, right? Montero hits one into the night in game one. You think you're going to the World Series. Clayton Kershaw, you lose a 1-0 game, and now you just get smoked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just didn't show up at all.
But almost better that way to me. You know, than to lose another heartbreaker that you probably could have won.
Yeah, but now, to me, the confidence.
But it's only
little...
one game. See, that's the thing. I mean, if you lose 6-0, you kind of pick yourself up and say, okay, yeah, we got beaten pretty badly today. We're back at it tomorrow.
I mean, there were stories coming out of the airplane where Pedro Strop and Hector Rondon and all the Cubs relievers are telling Aroldis Chapman to go up and talk to Joe Maddon or bring Maddon back to the bus. Maddon's up front drinking wine, passed out. They wake him up, he comes back, he speaks Spanish, everybody's bonding together because they were down after losing game two. which I was kind of surprised to hear. You're down after what are you down about? I mean, come on, you lost one game.
See, I took that like they were loose, that they could do that. By the way, good point from the 847 here via our text line 312-981-7200. Kershaw has been overworked coming off the herniated disc.
I agree,
and he's not throwing the curve. He could blow up. That's something that he admitted after the game.
That's what I thought was going to happen the other day.
And Joe Maddon said he saw. All right, we got to take another timeout. We'll come back and check a news. We'll hear from the skipper, Joe Maddon, and Jake Arrieta, the pitcher. And we'll get a vibe for what's going on in that clubhouse out in L.A. after the Cubs fall in this series down 2-1 now.
Pretty late. Patty Vasquez will be here at midnight. We're going to stay with her for the first hour because she's going to console us or console me.
I think
or console
that's what,
Andy.
Will she have cookies?
She
always has something.
No cookies tonight,
no,
Craig.
Okay.
No pizza.
Right. Okay.
No nothing.
Just like the Cubs. No nothing.
720 WGN.
Mark McKinney. WGN.
All right, cramming a lot here.
I've got good news, Adam Hogue.
You do?
Yeah. Chris Bryant told Mark Gonzalez via Twitter that we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
I think the problem is that there's a W on the glass in the Allstate Showcase studio. Isn't that supposed to be down when you lose?
It's symbolic. I got nothing for you.
Hey, listen, let's all stay up.
Hashtag fly the W.
There is nothing to see here. You're only down 2-1. It takes 4 games to win a series. The Chicago Bulls were once down 2-0 to the New York Knicks and came back and won the series.
The Blackhawks were down 3-1 to the Red Wings.
The Blackhawks were down 3-1 to the Red Wings.
The Cubs were down 1-0 last year to the Cardinals.
The Cubs were down 1-0 to the Cardinals. See, we're building it right now. The Cubs led the Marlins 3-1 and lost. The Cubs led the Padres 2-0 and lost.
Stop.
Did that happen?
Kevin?
Carr, I'm sorry to deflate your bubble there. The Cubs are 0-5 when trailing a best-of-7 postseason series 2-1. Just throwing that out there for you.
Been in it.
There's no panic in the clubhouse whatsoever.
None.
It kind of looked like there was some panic in the dugout.
The dugout? In the clubhouse, I didn't sense any of it, which isn't really surprising. If they lose tomorrow, they should panic.
Well, I could use some panic. Give me some panic.
Some Joe panic?
Chris Bryant was talking, and in typical Chris Bryant, he just sort of shrugged it off. And I mean, that's what you expect from Chris Bryant anyways. He's like the last guy in the clubhouse that's going to give you any sort of panic or nervous or anything like that. But, yeah, he said, we'll figure it out. And they all sort of gave you that vibe, to be honest. But, if they don't figure out the offense tomorrow and they go down 3-1 with Kershaw looming either in Game 5 or 6, then they should panic. Then they have some issues there. But this offense has been pretty much atrocious. Let me pull a nugget out here for you guys. They've been held scoreless in 18 consecutive innings, longest postseason drought in club history. The previous record was 16, set in 1906. This was the best offense in baseball. Top two offense in baseball. Really,
what's important to remember, though, is they won the World Series in 1906.
That's good. Nice follow-up nugget, Carl.
I was going to say, because if you're setting postseason records, bad postseason records for this franchise, that's not good. Hey, Kevin.
Actually, they didn't win it in 06. They went to win it in 06. But I take a go to it at this point.
No.
They won it in 07 and 08.
Cubs, first team to suffer back-to-back shutouts, same postseason since the 2012 Detroit Tigers as well. One more nugget for you, Carl.
All right.
And Andy.
Good nug.
I'm here, too.
Sorry, I get a nugget? No, I'm just sort of...
I want a nugget.
That's for you as well. You can share. You guys can all share the nugget. We'll split it three ways.
Kevin Powell is out at Dodger Stadium right now. He's cleaning up the mess that the Cubs offense left behind.
I'm going to be here all night.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. All right, so what kind of answers, if any, does Joe Maddon have on how you get this thing turned around? Because, I mean, this is what we talk about with what can managers really control. I still think managers matter, but these are kind of the situations where it's up to the players. You just got to start hitting.
It's sort of as simple as that, and Joe Maddon said that in his presser. He said he has no solid explanation. He says we're not hitting the ball hard. That's, I think, the biggest thing I've noticed the past couple games. Obviously, they're not getting hits, but the way the ball's coming off the bat, they're just not solid, especially with Rizzo. And even when he is making solid contact, the timing's way off. You know, the few times he made strong hits, he was pulling it way foul. So his timing's off. He looks like a mess at the plate, to be honest. If I'm a pitcher, if I'm Arias tomorrow, of Kershaw in a couple games, just go right at him because he's just sort of waiting back. And Joe Maddon said he needs to accept his walks. Just pitch to him. He's all out of whack right now.
Well, what can you tell us about Julio Urias?
He'll become the youngest pitcher ever to start a postseason game tomorrow.
And he's going up against probably the most experienced.
Yeah, who's 17 years older than Julio. 17 years older. John Lackey.
How do you attack an Urias? I want to get a game plan going on right now. Mazur, do you know an Urias?
He's a lefty.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't bode well for this offense.
It doesn't matter who's on the mound. What's got to happen, and I don't know if they talked about this at all in the clubhouse, Kevin, but the approach is just off. These guys are not using the same approach that they used all season long to get starting pitchers out of games early.
You're exactly right, Andy, and that's what I saw tonight, too. Rich Hill didn't look great in the first couple innings. His command wasn't there, and I thought the Cubs were actually over-aggressive in their initial at-bats. I thought they should have been a little more selective, maybe drawn some walks, which is what they've done all season long, is wear out starting pitchers, get to the bullpen as quickly as possible. I thought Rich Hill was going to follow up his NLDS performance and last three or four innings the way he started the game. He ends up going six innings. Two hits, two walks, no runs.
Well, and that's another point of contention here. Rich Hill, in two starts in the DS, lasted a total of seven innings. Tonight, he looked like Sandy Koufax in his prime.
Yeah, but you know what? To be honest, from my vantage, sometimes I watch a game and you look at the pitcher's stat line after and you go, wow, that must have been a dominant game. You're sort of watching this game, and maybe the last three innings that Hill pitched, but the first three, I'm like, he really doesn't look all that great. Listen. He doesn't look dominant. It's just the Cubs are so out of whack at the plate that they were making him look like Sandy Koufax.
Right. No, early on, they had their chances. I thought Addison Russell's at bat. We've said that now a couple times on the show. I thought, for me, Addison Russell's at bat when you had second and third, an opportunity to sort of get some mojo going, and even without mojo, just a simple sack fly or a ground ball, not straight at someone to the third baseman or the first baseman, you get a run. And you're on the board, and Arrieta can settle in, perhaps, and pitch with the lead. All of that matters. But I'm on to Julio Urias, who was signed out of the Mexican League, made his full season debut at 16 years old. Let's break this guy down. 6'2", 205, left-hander.
Top prospect in baseball, really, coming into this year. First game out, the Cubs faced him already this season. Let me pull up that for you as well, since we're talking about him here.
He was the number two prospect in the Dodger system behind Corey Seager. So I'm going to have a...
Who's starting to come around?
Yeah.
Three hits tonight after struggling.
He goes with the goggles look. He wears number seven. These are things that you can learn about Julio Urias, who I'm guessing the 96% of Cub fans know nothing about, but their lives are on the line with Urias tomorrow night.
This will make you feel better. His June 2nd start against the Cubs, he gave up 8 hits, 3 home runs, and 6 runs.
Oh, that feels good.
That was also his second career start, though.
Who hit home runs off?
I don't have that in front of me, Carm. Okay. You're really putting me on the spot here about Urias.
But
he's a lefty.
It's all about Urias right now.
But Andy, maybe your dream may come true.
It's too late for that. Looks like a panic move now. Today it would have been a good move. Today?
It's not too late.
Today would have been a good move.
It's not too late to
I mean, he had Jason
goodbye.
Hayward pinch hit for him. I'm not sure exactly what that accomplishes. Well. Putting Jason Hayward in for Addison Russell was like, really?
Did he explain that one, Joe?
No, he wasn't. I wasn't in the press conference. I was just reading the notes right now, but he wasn't asked about that. But when Hayward came in, it was like, all right, I understand the message you're sending, you know, trying to get a bat up there, but you're going to send Jason Hayward up for Addison Russell? Really? Is that even much of a better option there?
I mean, I spent my entire day today just waiting for the lineup to come out. That was how I spent.
I think a lot of Cubs fans were.
You were like tweeting down the hours.
Yeah,
I mean, I could tell you were. You should have joined me at Hal's Hall today. It would have calmed your nerves. There's nothing going on there. It's just nice and calm.
Nothing to see here.
I'll go tomorrow. Is there something tomorrow out there?
No.
Guys, go
ahead.
Julio Urias also beat the Cubs 3-2 on August.
Urias.
20, whatever. 3-2 on Urias.
Urias.
Kev, we got a short hour here. We got anything
real
else
quick,
for
though,
us?
Real quick. Yep. Jorge Soler, don't put him. He should not be in the lineup the rest of the postseason. He's a liability.
He looks uninterested.
He looked uninterested. He looked flat. He looked lost. He didn't know what he was doing.
Also, they dodged the bullet. Those two collided in the outfield out there. Mm-hmm. There was two problems with that, though.
They were both yelling for it.
Well, first of all, that is definitely Fowler's
definitely
to call off. There's no question. Mm-hmm. But also, as a center fielder, if the guy's standing under it,
Well, he was Jorge Soler-ing it, though. He's like sauntering over, and
he was standing under the ball.
Yeah, but he had the backhand. He wasn't really in position. And like, if I'm Dexter Fowler, I got zero confidence that guy's ever going to do anything.
And Soler missed a cutoff, man, threw it to home, allowed a runner to advance a second, which didn't come back to bite them. But that's just baseball 101 right there.
Listen, yeah. I play softball on Monday nights, and Mo Malay.
And you hit the cutoff, man. The Carm is hitting the cutoff, man, in 16 innings.
Mo Malay in right field hits the cutoff, man, every damn time there. Soler, the airmail.
Which the airmail.
We did. We didn't say nice things about him at that moment, Andy Mazur.
No, we did not.
So. All right, follow Kevin on Twitter, at KPowell720. You can get the menu at Dodger Stadium.
I had a Wagyu beef burger today. It was $16. Can't wait to expense that. I'm sure management will love it.
Is a beer really $15? I saw that on Twitter. That's insane.
Yeah, that's for like the craft beer domestic, your basic Bud Light, Miller Light situation, about $13-14.
Unbelievable. Don't. I'm going to let that go, Carm, because you know my opinions on concessions. All right, Kevin.
See you guys.
See you.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Kevin Powell at Dodger Stadium.
No one forces you to buy the beer for those of us, those just joining an Adam Hogue, Mark Herman experience.
I'm drawing the line at $8 max. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get you a little bit of Joe Madden from the podium. 720 WGN.
On 720 WGN.
Let's stay positive.
Oh, now you're positive?
You two have been super negative tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm not being negative. If this team is going to be a true World Series contender, they need to be taken to task when they don't score a run for 18 straight innings in the NLCS.
Sometimes you just got to dance with the devil. That's what we're doing right now. We are having a dance with the devil. We're going down to the bottom. We're going to get everybody. We're going to test everyone's mettle here. And then the Cubbies are going to rise up and live a dream that we never thought possible. Or it's just going to end in disaster, and we'll be very used to it.
Let's take a quick phone call before we check in with Joe Madden. Perry, you're on 720 WGN.
Yeah, I called in because you guys were killing me, because you guys were talking about the prices at L.A. Well, the stadium, just a few weeks back, or actually a month ago, when I went to see Pearl Jam at Wrigley with my cousins, we go all the time. A couple of the bars there, they had a great deal. Every bar got together. It was like, whatever you want to order was $15. Run 4 Miller Lights, 4 Old South, whatever, $15. So I ordered 4 Miller Lights, 4 Fireballs, $120. So we cannot question L.A.
All right, Perry, you are absolutely correct. Prices around Wrigleyville are significant.
Huge.
Yes. Very. Somebody texted me the other day, hey, where can I go for cheap drinks before the Cub game? Not Wrigleyville, my brother.
Batavia.
Edison Park. Yeah. So take the blue line.
Listen, that is not the focus right now. As much as dollars are always on everyone's mind, the focus,
no, it's not.
The focus is on beating Julio Urias and having a better approach. I thought that I was.
Let's hear from Joe.
Okay, fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
You want to hear from Joe?
Let's hear from Joe.
All right. Here's Joe Madden at the podium.
They've pitched well. Obviously, I have no solid explanation. We just got to keep working at it. We're just not hitting the ball well. We were doing the same kind of routines. The work's the same. The batting practice is the same, or the lack of it's the same. We're just not getting the results right. I there's really no excuse. We just have to obviously pick it up quickly.
Yes, and again, sir. The back to the right.
Joe, you referenced in the pregame what happened against the Mets last year, where it kind of like started going downhill and you couldn't stop it. Is it harder to stop a negative trend in the postseason, like bad offense? And if so, do you have any other things to do besides shake up your lineup like you did today?
It could be possibly. It just depends on the pitching. I mean, he'll pitch well again today. We're going to see a young guy tomorrow. Obviously, it's more of a mental trend than it is a physical trend. You got to be able to push back mentally as much as anything right now. And because when it comes down to work, you don't need any more batting practice or any more video study or data information. You just have to mentally just hang in there, man, and keep pushing back till you get it. It's just about hard contact. The at-bats haven't been bad. We're just not hitting the balls. We're not striking it well. And so we're making it easy on their defense. But it's more of a mental exercise than it is a physical one right now for me.
I like that. Let's get some mental exercises going on.
That's what it is.
Thanks to Comcast Sportsnet, by the way, for Joe Madden.
That's what I'm talking about, though. Because that's why a guy like David Ross could be such a huge a sounding board in a situation like this, because they all respect him. All these young guys look up to this guy. He's Grandpa Rossi. And I'm not saying this is going to be the thing that's going to flip the switch, But it certainly can't hurt at this point. I think somebody just needs to remind them of what they were able to accomplish during the regular season. And they faced Rich Hill today.
You're a Rich Hill, and you've gone too far. I mean, that's honestly, you lost to Rich Hill?
That's what I mean.
Come on, man.
I mean, obviously, he's a major league pitcher. He was acquired at a trade deadline, you know, by a team that desperately needed some starting pitching.
He's pitched great at Dodger Stadium,
and he
too.
Has. And you hate to say it, but you're
sorry. You're the best team in baseball.
That's what's driving me crazy
you
about the whole thing.
You can't get shut out by Rich Hill.
That's what's driving me crazy, Adam.
The White Sox beat Rich Hill this year on opening night.
Craig, can we get Hall & Oates, you're a rich girl, Rich Hill? That's who they lost to tonight, Rich Hill. I didn't want to say this, but I'm just going to say it real quick.
Did you just call him a girl?
No, I'm uncomfortable now. I would never use a gender to insult anybody.
No, you didn't. You made a nice song reference. That's
well,
all you
I, the rich girl, Rich Hill. It's vintage Cub. Wasn't Rich Hill on the 2007 Cubs?
Yeah, the first pitch he threw in the playoffs got hit out of the ballpark by Chris Young.
Yeah, did we win? This is who we lost tonight. This guy. Rich Hill.
Okay, yeah, that's the disheartening thing. But then you look at it, and if you got to look at the glass half full, I'm trying to just try to save you here. You look at the glass half full thing, and it's seriously, it's a 2-1 series.
Thank you for saying that.
It's a 2-1 series. It's not okay tomorrow. Yeah, if it's 3-1, there's some issues to discuss here. But for the time being, it's 2-1 with a chance to take it back to Wrigley Field.
And you know what, John Lackey. He needs to show up.
This is what you got him for.
I mean, this is what they're paying you for. Here's this as we head to break here.
Patty Vasquez is ready to join the show, by the way, and her own program. But
I brought donuts. Does that help at all?
Wait, hold on.
For donuts and cookies or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Nice.
So you did bring things.
I did bring something. I heard you say, does she have anything tonight?
I asked if you had cookies.
So I pulled over immediately.
Did you really?
I did.
I did.
Nice.
I heard a plea for sugar. Why? Yeah.
We should bring something tomorrow. Just to
actually, I don't feel bad.
We have cookies coming tomorrow, too. We have Max and Benny's. We'll be bringing cookies tomorrow. So no worries.
Max and Benny's is coming in tomorrow.
I'm saying. Yes.
God, I love Max and Benny.
It's all good.
That makes a 2-1 deficit feel a little bit better.
Doesn't it? I was thinking, you know what? We need some comfort food.
We need to take a break to get our spots in before midnight. We'll be right back with Pat.
True Blue Playoff Plus, brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
We're good. Carm, I felt the need to not only bring you sugar, but also hugs tonight. It's all good.
And I thank you for it, Patty. I think that right now...
7-game series.
Well, let's just...
7-game series. We're only 1 game down.
What does it look like, just out of curiosity, on Thursday if it's over? Well, what will you do for... Well, how will you...
Well, why are we already over? How did this happen? How do we go...
If it's over on Thursday over. Night... Well, maybe the Bears will have beaten the Packers.
Oh,
and
that's
celebrate.
A...
That's not happening. No, listen, I'm just kidding.
I was waiting for the punchline.
We're gonna dance.
No, that wasn't.
We're gonna dance with the baseball devil, and we're gonna pull through. That's what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, this look. It was a disappointing night. I watched the game at the Iron Horse on the far northwest side in Norwood Park, the neighborhood I grew up in, and it wasn't.
I love that place.
We used to live great food.
Right. Oh, that made me miss.
I'm sorry.
Living there.
Come hang out with us anytime you want.
I want to.
Just because I don't live there either. I live
that
in Jefferson Park.
That place is great.
It's a fantastic.
Yeah, we lived in Park Ridge, but we would go there anyway.
It's a great place to hang out. Carm, you got to come hang out with me in Norwood Park.
I'm in. I don't know when, but I'm in.
Well, I know we were watching the game, right? And there was a screaming, and everyone turned around, and I turned around, I'm like, oh, it's me that was screaming. And the guy next to me goes, I thought it was my voice screaming because it was a tough game to watch.
It was.
There were bizarre things, you know, between Baez trying to barehand it on a little like blooper, the guys Soler and Fowler banging into each other. That was bizarre. It was a strange, slow game that we got crushed in, and it was hard to watch.
I think we need to figure out how to get we got to get a little mojo going here. How do we get some positive flow?
That was my question to you because that's Joe Maddon's whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that this is a game. Never let the
pressure exceed the pleasure.
Exactly. And it seems that they are now letting the pressure exceed the pleasure and they're not having fun. And is it him? Is it somebody on the team? Is there a team leader that has to, you know?
Well, it's David Ross. David Ross is the guy. And we talked about this a little bit in the first hour.
I think he would run from that, though.
I don't think he does. I think he embraces the stuff.
Invigorating the team?
Well, I think
somebody's got to.
I think he would just say something like, he would give everybody respect in there and be like, hey, these guys are professionals. They're going to come out. They're not going to.
But see, he makes a point of going around the clubhouse to every guy when he comes into the clubhouse. It's a little different on the road because they're coming in usually at the same time from, you know, whether they take the bus or whatever to get a cab from the hotel. But, you know, when you go around, it'd be more like, okay, hey, we've done this all year. Come on, right. Let's take it easy. Let's go.
I just like the idea of playing David Ross.
Me too.
Like, this is his last go around.
Get him out there.
And you guys think they're going to bench him tomorrow?
Well, I think he'll play. I think he'll play tomorrow.
Last lackey start, he started him. Knowing Joe Maddon the way we do on True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN, I think he will play Ross tomorrow. I do.
I like it.
I don't know. Hey,
he's in my pretend lineup.
Whoever plays, they have to be their best selves tomorrow. So tomorrow is the day to do your extra moment of meditation, your extra little extra
whatever
you need. I mean, this is what separates champions from people that go home, right? I mean, they have the talent to do it.
Well, look, and we've talked about how they won 103 games. Mm-hmm. Part of that is, again, having fun, the goofiness, whether it's the onesies and magicians in the clubhouse, whatever. Right. And they last year they went down hard with the Mets right in the same spot. I mean, we're one game in. We have one win, but you know, what did you say, 18 innings? We haven't gone without a run.
The last run to score was the Dexter Fowler home run right after the Montero Grand Slam.
Yeah,
right. That's it. Ninth inning.
And that's where I'm just, you can't have last year happen again. I know Cubs fans let that go real easily because they never expected to be in the NLCS to begin with, but the way they lost to the Mets last year really bothered me. And you're only down 2-1, but these last two games look a lot like last year's NLCS.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. See, now the situation tomorrow is, it sounds easy, but less is more. And you kind of equate it to a relief pitcher that comes into a game late and critical situations. The natural tendency is to try to throw the ball through the backstop, try to throw it as hard as you possibly can. When in actuality, the way Greg Maddux used to do it was throw soft, you know, throw easy, you know, do what you do.
Work for Rich Hill tonight.
Yeah, don't try to do anything, you know, more than you're capable of doing. I hate to borrow the line from Coach Thibodeau. Just do your job. That's all you can really do.
Are you suggesting they sign Mark Burley for game 4?
That'd be nice.
That'd be great. Hey, that guy has a win. He has a save.
That's it. We're doing draft picks right here during the
championships.
We'll bring him some beer.
he can pitch drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
He's done it.
He is the most versatile pitcher there is.
Yeah.
Carm, how you doing?
You know what the Cubs need, Patty? They need you to fly to LA and bring them a bunch of donuts before.
I would love to bring them a bunch of donuts right now. Are you feeling a little better?
I was down, and now
maybe some matzo ball soup.
Oh, but they're from Max and Benny's. Bring them some cookies.
Exactly,
that'd be fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take, but they need a big boost right now. Huge. They have to. Tonight's not a must win, but it would certainly be nice to catch up a little bit.
It's pretty close to a must win.
Tonight is a must win.
Oh, are you deeming it a must win? A must win is if you don't win tonight, you're done. Well, if we don't win tonight, we're not done.
Patty, I called this one
a must win.
Just because the matchup. I'm like, you can't lose to Rich Hill with Jake Arrieta.
They're not worthy. The Dodgers are not worthy of us to go down to them.
You are technically correct, though, Patty.
They're not worthy.
And it's not, quote-unquote, a must win.
Oh, I see.
I mean, by the letter of the law, that would be on Thursday if they lose tomorrow. Hopefully they will not lose tomorrow.
You're making my eyebrow hurt. Go ahead. Keep talking.
You know what else was bugging me about the game today?
Yeah, go, please.
Oh, yes. Can we take a break? Yeah, I want to find out what Andy Mazur is bugged about from the game tonight. Maybe Adam Hoey has something. I don't know. I'm sure Carm's got a lot more in store for us. More numbers.
Angel Hernandez.
More stats. 312-981-7200. We want to hear how you're doing, too. Call us or text us at 312-981-7200. It is True Blue coverage on 720 WGN.
On 720 WGN.
And by Sloan, water connects us. Carm, Andy Mazur. Is it at the Carm is what I'm calling you now, and Adam Hoge? Is it all by Twitter handles? I know that Andy Mazur said he's not available by Twitter.
Oh, I'm available.
Are you available by Twitter?
I'm a normal human being, so you can just call me Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Yeah, you can call me Andy.
Yeah, Andy. You know what, Penny, and at the Carm.
Yeah, you haven't called me Mark in a long time. Let's just go. Let's just go Mark.
You asked me, Craig. Can you take the record and go back all the way for the last 2 years? I'm pretty sure he said, "Call me Carm."
I do like Carm.
One time on our weekend show, I called him Mark.
It's weird.
And he called me out on it. He was like, "Wait a minute, that was weird."
Who?
It's awkward.
I totally threw him off.
Mark. Mark is actually. Yeah.
It was like I called him Peter or something. Like I called him the wrong name. That's how he reacted.
It's unfamiliar to you.
We need some unfamiliarness right now, though, because
to switch it up a little bit.
Yes.
Well, we teased with Andy Mazur said there was something that bothered him. What really bothered him during the game? He's still thinking about it.
I am bugged by the LA scene celebrity folks that sit behind home plate.
Yeah.
Take tickets away from hardworking people that could probably enjoy the view a lot more than Mary Hart and Larry King, who I don't know if they saw a combined four pitches of this game.
No one was paying attention.
Mary Hart was on her phone the entire game. I even tweeted.
Yeah.
At least the Cubs celebs watch the game.
They watch the game. Bob Newhart, Bonnie Hunt, they're watching the game.
Yep.
If you want to feel like you're a really happy person, what you need to do is watch a Cubs game in the playoffs when they're losing with Andy Mazur.
I go off the rails.
Oh, boy. Where did you guys watch the game?
We were upstairs. I mean, it was a nonstop torch fest.
You got to come to the Iron Horse in Norwood Park and hang out with us.
It was unbelievable.
A lot of it's for effect, but some of it's just to make myself feel better.
Right.
What's an off-the-rails Andy Mazur like? Well, just screaming, throwing things?
No, I don't throw things. I just have snide comments about things that are probably not appropriate to
a lot of sarcasm.
Discuss. Very much sarcasm. Sarcasm should have been my middle name.
I won't say...
Or your Twitter handle.
That too.
I won't release any of the names that he was talking about. I would never do that.
No.
With the exception of Joe Buck.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw someone slide into first base, by the way?
Oh, well, that was another one.
That's another one.
Too much.
Too much. See, you should never do that unless there's a possibility of contact. If you're going to run into the first baseman, as the runner, slide to try to avoid the contact.
Or if the ball's already there and he's going to swipe tag you.
Yeah. But this, there's no theory, there's no proof to me. Everybody says, oh, you get there the same amount if you ran through the bag. No.
ESPN Sports Science broke it down. It gets you it's slower.
It slows you down.
It slows you down.
Yeah, because you're dragging into the dirt.
Right. You're airborne. And he also, I mean, the ump initially called him safe,
and
which
that's,
was.
That's Angel Hernandez, who Mark wanted to talk about.
The ump?
Do you remember, Ainge, do you remember when Steve McMichael said in the seventh inning stretch back in, it was 2001,
yeah.
And as for that plate umpire, I got something for you as well. And then the plate umpire, who was Angel Hernandez, turned around and threw out Mongo.
Who was in the booth?
He was in the booth. He was thinking seventh inning stretch.
He threw him out?
Why do I not know this?
Wait, what?
He pointed from home plate up at the booth and said, you're out of here.
And was then he kidding?
He called the press, he called the press box.
They booted Mongo.
Yeah. They escorted Mongo out of the stadium.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, has there ever been a seventh inning stretch singer that's been booted besides Mongo?
There have been
Mongo?
A few that should have been booted before they sang.
I was going to say, not enough.
Yeah, they should have been booted before they sang.
That seems like something that should have happened regularly.
Nancy Kerrigan, Jeff Gordon.
That was unbelievable. And as for that plate umpire, I mean...
and that was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and Angel Hernandez kind of stared up at him with his arms folded like... You have a chance against Steve McMichael. Good luck.
And the reason why we're bringing up Angel Hernandez is because he was at first base.
He was a first base ump?
Yeah.
On the Coughlin slide where he was clearly out and he called him
so
safe.
So clearly out.
And then it was the quickest replay in the history of review, or the quickest review in the history of baseball replays, right?
Yes.
Took him 1 second. No, he was
they didn't even get to the headsets.
Can I actually give Fox FS1 credit?
Okay. No.
That camera angle that... No.
Can I go on the record?
Don't you have to break it?
But the close up slow motion shot they had of that first base was actually very impressive.
Oh, and the slide in the second where Baez had the tag where he was kind of doing the hook fadeaway slide where he kind of like slid past it. He was on it and then they wanted to know if he would let go of it, right?
Yeah. There's another one. Another little.
What
sarcastic.
Are you laughing at? It was a pretty slide. I have to admit.
It was a majestic.
It was
slide.
Well in slow motion. It was gorgeous. I'm sorry, Andy.
Carm, the other sarcastic point I brought up was FS1. Will they ever fix their audio?
I don't listen to them.
Are you talking about how it cuts out?
It cuts out all the time.
No, that is because they have all the mics are hot and people swear and they have to.
No,
hit
is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes, it is.
Interesting. Okay.
I've learned something.
Because in the playoffs, they have extra mics around the field, like for crowd noise and to pick up players yelling at each other.
Sure.
And someone's job is to hit that button anytime.
How do I get that gig?
Yeah.
I'd like to
start here on this show because it's necessary.
Yeah. I'd like to have the Joe Buck mute button.
Yeah. Every time Joe Buck talks.
That's actually why the sound's cutting out so much.
Somebody doesn't like his voice.
815's texting, call Carm Glum from Gulliver's Travel.
That's why I said we're never going to make
it. Or Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. We're doomed.
We're doomed.
Listen, I'm going to be the most positive guy ever tomorrow night, win or lose.
No, you're not.
No.
Yeah, you say that now, but...
Write that down.
Yeah, as soon as Chase Utley hits a leadoff homer in the first inning...
Yeah, I take it back.
Remember in game four of the last series? That miraculous comeback?
Oh,
do you remember as that inning started?
So good.
We're about to go on the air, and I go, Carm, which studio do you want to use? I don't care.
He needed a hug from me.
Yeah, he wouldn't even text me back that night.
That was, I texted you back that night.
After the Cubs came
back. Yeah, exactly.
No,
you waited.
I was texting Mazur nonstop. They were like, should I come in? Should I come in? It was Yom Kippur. Was it Yom Kippur?
Tuesday was Yom Kippur.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That's what we need. We need some prayer going on here. Let's get in a Vinu Malkanu.
All right. I've got some candles and some beads. More after this on 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Patty Vasquez. It's also sponsored by Sloan Water Connects Us. Hi, Carm.
Hey, Patty.
Andy
how are
Mazur
you?
Just turned to you and said, hi, Carm, and I was about to do the same. Adam Hogue might think that you need a little bit of consoling.
Hi, Mark. How are you, Mark?
I mean, I don't want
this. Hi, Mark. Hey, Mark.
Listen, Cup fans, those of us who have grown up with the team, Andy, Patty, will make Hogue in there as well, even though.
Yeah, I saw his socks landed for his building pass, whatever.
I grew up closer to Wrigley Field than any of you, probably.
That's true for me.
Where did you grow up?
At Lincoln and Armitage.
All right. Fine then.
You know,
I went to school closer than you did, probably. Went to Lane Tech. Okay, then.
That's true. My point is that we're all in this together. I don't want the spotlight on myself. We're all feeling the pain. Mazur had a meltdown that I haven't seen in many years.
I wish I'd watched the game with you guys. Yes.
It's a treat.
It's
fun.
Maybe tomorrow. Can I watch with you guys tomorrow night?
I don't recommend that experience.
No, you'll be fine.
Can you do a Facebook Live video of some of it?
Sure.
I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
We could do that.
All right.
That would be an interesting little thing to do.
But see, it's got to be it's got to be undercover Facebook Live.
Because I'll never really do what what I normally do.
I won't tell you what's happening.
No. Okay, good.
Well, last year I caught a raw moment on video when the Cubs beat the Cardinals. And I posted it, and then like an hour later, Carb, I think, was like, I don't know if I want that out there.
Too late.
It was organic.
What was the...
I just let out a big scream. Sometimes you got to yell.
It was awesome. I don't think I took it down. We could probably still find it.
I'm willing to...
Well, look.
Let's bring that back.
I hope that there is, there's a type of game tomorrow where there is yelling. Because at some point, there wasn't even any more yelling tonight's game. I mean, we were done. We didn't have any energy. They had nothing going. The bats weren't... I mean, it was awful. They were dead at the plate.
Yeah. And, it's so fun to watch Dodger fans wave their little blue towels when they never show up during the regular season. They show up in the third inning and leave in the seventh.
Yeah. What was that? Yeah, they started
twirling
their towels like somewhere in the seventh inning.
And I know the traffic out there stinks.
I was surprised at the lack of Cubs fans.
They kept showing them, though. I mean, FS1 just kept finding... When everything was going bad.
You can always zoom in on one or
they
two.
They find one guy.
Did you see the guy that zipped up his hoodie to cover up the Cubs shirt?
Yeah, exactly.
The eighth inning. I was like, come on, hang in there. It is strange to see the area around the stadium there because instead of having rooftops, they're all sitting on the hills and they're in their folding chairs.
The ravine.
Yeah, in the ravine. So you're watching the game here tomorrow again.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be here as well, Adam?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Because we're going to do later on, we're going to find out where people are watching the game. So feel free to give us a call or text us and let us know where you are. Because there is something to being around other people than sitting at home on your couch watching it alone with all that anxiety and frustration that went on today.
It depends the team for me.
Yeah, me too.
Like sometimes I like that.
I
just want to be sitting on a couch so I can really hear the announcers.
That's what it is with Blackhawks for me.
Just
alone
in the dark in the television.
I put the TV on and I put John and Troy on to kind of supplement it.
You really need to be focused.
In the playoffs too, though?
More so in the playoffs
than
ever, yeah.
You don't want to be around people celebrating and mourning
together?
I did,
though, for game six last year.
When the White Sox were in the World Series in 2005, I had a good friend in Bridgeport and I watched game one and four there.
Isn't that exciting?
And mainly game four so that if they won,
right,
you're right by the stadium. and could celebrate. So I was all about that back then. So I recommend that actually for Cubs fans.
I think so. I think that, you know, there's strength in numbers. I think we need a little energy. We need, you know, to buoy fans like Carm. Who's...
Well, I mean, I think we have to have a come to Jesus moment here. I mean, Andy and I just watched the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's not why they lost, though. Cause...
Well, I don't know.
you did say if they lost this game, you were going to bury yourself in a dark room.
Yes.
That's a good point. I remember that.
In game four, we did have a dark room. Mazur was in another location. Mm-hmm. It was the greatest comeback in the history of the franchise.
Yeah. You can watch in my office. There's no windows if you want
to
use that.
I think we might have to have a discussion here as to whether Andy and I can watch the game together.
I was sequestered in case something happened to the other two hosts, that there was one host that would be available. Right?
I see. Yeah. I see. So it's going to be separated in case.
It's like the presidency. Like, you always got to keep, you know,
informal.
The next
designated survivor. Right. Is that what you are?
Yeah. Andy's the designated.
I was the designated survivor that game.
Oh boy, it's Carm. It's all. It's look.
I know,
just one game, and intellectually you're fine, but emotionally you can't.
Well, listen. Let's be realistic here, right?
No. I was going to say when you guys ask me questions like this.
I like it.
We've been waiting a long time for this, Patty.
Yes. You told me that this is a team that it's going to go for years with the kind of, you know, the infrastructure that Madden and Theo Epstein have put into place, right?
I just don't know if we're really.
I'm not giving up yet either. I'm just saying this is all good.
It just really has felt like this is going to be the year. So let's I think we stay with that mindset.
Okay.
That they ran into a Clayton Kershaw in game two. And tonight,
like a buzzsaw.
For a little buzzsaw. And for whatever reason, tonight was just one of their worst performances of the year. And this team is going to show its mental fortitude. And it's going to bounce back in game four.
Yes.
And it's going to win a baseball game. And then they're going to proceed from there. Be a best 2 out of 3 series at that point with 2 games at home. So... All is well. All's well that
they're,
ends.
They're going to come back. We're going to win another game. It's going to be good at
it. Yeah. If it was easy, they'd have been doing it for 108 years. Wouldn't take this long.
Exactly.
You know,
everybody would be doing it.
Everybody knew it was going to be a little difficult.
Do goats float from the 214? We got to get the goat out to the left coast ASAP so we can take a premature celebratory dip into the Pacific and break the curse.
Okay.
The old goat in the Pacific maneuver. How are we doing? How are we doing?
Are we still coming back to the goat? I thought we were good.
It's unbelievable.
The goat stuff?
Stop it.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, when Joe Buck in game one, whatever that was, when Rizzo went over to the stands and tried to catch the foul ball and it popped in and out of his glove, of course he goes, there was an incident on the other side. Oh, really? There was an incident on the other side? I'd never heard of that one. Thanks, Joe.
You know, I was watching the ESPN documentary.
That's just a preview, which you might get tomorrow.
I'll be here for that. I'm looking forward to it.
ESPN re-aired Catching Hell, the ESPN documentary on the whole Bartman thing.
I watch it nightly.
I watch it. No, but I've been watching it sort of in pieces.
I don't have more than
like 20 minutes at a time these days. But I've been watching it and really just to kind of, because I think it's important to kind of soak in what happened in 03, actually, from the position we're at doing these shows every
night. I lived it. I was there.
I know.
I don't want to relive it.
But anyway.
Soak, drown, whatever it is.
The point is, in that game, in game six, after, you know, as the Marlins are just beating up on the Cubs after they take the lead, there's a moment where Tom Brenneman said, well, at this, like, something along the lines of, at this point, how can you not believe that there's, you know, in the GOAT and all? And it's like, that has nothing to do with it right now. Yeah. Like, Alex Gonzalez
booted an easy double play ground ball.
Easiest double play ball ever.
You know why he said that, though.
So that's what.
Why?
Because Tom Brenneman hates the Cubs.
He does. He does. What did he say earlier this year again?
He's just. I don't. Andy probably knows better why exactly.
His dad's not a big fan either, Marty. Yeah.
I mean, Tom was a great broadcaster here. It was.
He had some issues as he left.
It was. I really don't know the whole story. I just know that Tom Brenneman.
Well, he went off on Cubs fans this year in the middle of his broadcast because they were chanting "Go Cubs" in the ninth inning in Cincinnati,
and that's somehow looked down upon, which it's obviously not.
Yeah, he basically accused them of, like, I don't know, being sore winners or something along the lines. Come on,
dear. Well, I mean, when you're as far as announcers go, because a lot of people are posting how much they hate the Fox Sports 1 announcers. I mean, obviously there are other choices. That's the great thing about watching with friends. You watch the action. Mm-hmm. You don't hear anything except for the conversation in the bar.
To be fair.
No.
No, I'm going to get the nose too now. Yeah. Okay, to be fair, and I'm not a huge fan of Joe Buck, but it's a difficult situation to find yourself in. He obviously is known as a St. Louis guy.
Right.
His father was a legendary broadcaster for the Cardinals for many, many, many years and a wonderful man.
One of the greatest broadcasters in the history of the game.
Yeah, and a really nice guy as well. It's difficult because whatever you say, you're gonna anger 50% of the fans because you're not gonna ever really be able to play it straight. Because as a national announcer, you have to get excited when the Cubs score. You have to be excited when the Dodgers score. So the Cub fans are gonna hate it when you get excited about the Dodgers. The Dodger fans are gonna hate it when you get excited about the. You're in a no win situation.
Well, and we have no way of knowing how excited he gets when the Cubs score because we only have.
That's a really good point.
Just saying.
I'd like to see him get a little more excited about Cubs scoring, maybe tonight.
Yes, let's give him a reason to be excited about it. Because I obviously am only getting one side of the opinions on Joe Buck or the FS1 announcers because I don't see what the Dodgers fans are posting. Do you think that they're?
I love hearing what John Smoltz has to say about pitching.
Smoltz is the best part of the broadcast.
I mean, the stuff tonight when Montero threw down to first instead of framing a pitch, and he said. He basically said as a pitcher he would have been livid if his catcher did that because he basically gave up on the strike that he could have framed and potentially helped the umpire call it wrongly because it was a ball, but that's part of the game of baseball. Right. And then also when he didn't check down the third on a check swing or first or third, whichever one it was.
Always appeal.
He said, I always told my catchers, always, always, always appeal no matter what. Mm-hmm. By the way, that was a strike anyway, though.
It was right down the middle.
Like it didn't matter the swing. The pitch was a strike.
But that was when we came across his body. It was right in the.
It was right down the middle.
Yeah, I think that. Well, and those are the things that again, without hearing any announcing, we're just kind of we're just watching all the images. Okay, so tomorrow let's take a break here. Let's talk about what's coming up tomorrow. As far as I know, you guys already talked about the pitching for tomorrow and the lineup, and what your hopes are, what your dreams are, and how we can console Carm and hopefully get a longer microphone cord so we can broadcast from underneath the console tomorrow. Are you okay?
I'll be great. I'm really, really, really good.
You have a lot of anxiety.
That was not convincing.
No, I mean, like,
in and out of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, do we need to do the last 15 minutes? Not just for you, because I sense there are a lot of fans who are in your same boat. I am excited, and obviously I have some anxiety. It was a disappointing game, but at the same time, it's calm. It's good.
We're in a good place. I've already got my day scheduled tomorrow, Patty.
Are you getting a massage?
Are you
meditating?
I haven't put that in there, but you know,
up the dosage.
I'm going to start off. Well, we could talk about it coming back.
All right, we'll come back in just a moment. It is True Blue Playoffs Plus coverage, and we are sponsored by Wintrust, your place for checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, with your True Blue Playoffs Plus. Joining me is Mark Carman. Actually, I'm joining them. I'm joining your True Blue Playoffs Plus coverage, Carm and Andy Mazur and Adam Hogue. And Carm, I think that I do want to know what your plan is for tomorrow, first of all, to put yourself, and perhaps this is a template for the rest of the team. Yeah. Maybe the Cubs need to follow what you're going to do tomorrow.
Well, in the last 2 minutes, I've changed my plan, Patty.
Okay.
I'm going to pour over the numbers. I'm looking right now. Rich Hill, who started tonight. Mm-hmm. You like numbers? I know you do.
I do. I got my pen out. Do I need a chart and diagram? What is this going to be?
I think you'll be okay, but all right. He threw 93 pitches.
93.
How many curveballs do you think Rich Hill threw in his 93 pitches?
70.
It's right around there, yeah. It was 65 or 70%.
62.
49 curveballs. How many of those 49 did the Cubs swing at?
40.
I'm
going to say lower than that.
I'm going to say 25.
30.
18.
Yeah, it seemed low. It seemed like they weren't swinging.
They were looking a lot.
But it was bad because they didn't swing at his fastball either.
Yeah, they swung at 18. They went 2-for-7 when they actually hit the curveball. He threw 40 fastballs. Cubs were 0-for-11 against his fastball tonight. So
for as patient as they were, they only walked twice.
In the same inning.
Yeah. And they didn't score.
So,
man, this is depressing.
Don't be depressed. Don't let him do it to you.
The whole point here.
Don't.
I'm not
so curveballs are a problem for them, or a particular Hill's
the point curveballs. The point is that I don't think we're giving Rich Hill enough credit for how well this guy has pitched. Among pitchers with at least 100 innings this year, only Clayton Kershaw had a lower ERA than Rich Hill. So I'm actually spinning this positive for everybody here.
Well, we need to get this done so we don't see Crenshaw again. right?
Right. Well, we're going to see Kershaw again.
Kershaw.
We don't
Kershaw.
See,
I've
we,
heard it both ways.
We don't want to see him in Kershaw. We don't want to see him in Game 5, Patty. We don't want to see him in an elimination game.
I think he's pitching either way.
You even think that Kershaw's going in Game 5?
Because
two,
if you don't, we never really got to this in our first hour. If you don't pitch him in Game 5, that means he's starting Game 6, right? And then that you're maybe in some crazy scenario in Game 7, you could have him come back in the next night. But wouldn't you rather use him twice instead of once?
If he's ready to go in Game 5, I throw him in Game 5. I agree with you, because then you can't bring him back in Game 7.
I just wonder about the workload with the herniated disc and everything that happened.
If that's something that's bothering him, then I get it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if I'm Dave Roberts, I'm going, we're facing the best team in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. We're up 2-1, and we got to have the killer mentality.
But are you already feeling like they're the best team in baseball, considering the way they've played the last two games? I'm just wondering.
It's a fair question.
Maybe he thinks
so. I mean, you know,
Cubs have been, let me
who would be pitching Game 5 instead then?
For
Maeda?
Maeda, most likely.
Against Johnny Lester.
Who, I mean, well, they lost that game, but I guess they were, I guess he was fine.
Cubs will be, it'll be a race to the bat rack if Maeda's out there. Cubs were shut out back-to-back games for the first time since?
Yeah, it's been a while.
2014.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been.
I mean, can you think about that?
I believe the Dodgers did it to them then, too.
That's crazy. There, if you want to look for something positive with Addison Russell, too, even though he's 1-for-24, I know that, Mazur, you don't, but he's only struck out 4 of those 24 at-bats. So at least he's putting the ball in play. He's just not hitting it with any velocity. I'm trying to find positives here.
Okay.
He's hitting them where they are, so he's getting fielded.
Yes, rolling.
So he's got a low BABIP.
Low BABIP.
BABIP.
That's right. So
batting average, ball in play.
That means he's been unlucky.
By the way, I don't know how much you guys talked about Arrieta. Wow, just ouch. God, what inning did they take him out?
He came out in the sixth.
Yep.
He pitched 5 innings.
The Turner, and that was it in the sixth inning.
Do you guys remember the 1998 Yankees?
Craig?
I do.
I don't.
They swept the Padres.
The Yankees won 114 games that year.
That is correct.
They
All
were down,
the ones you're saying are correct.
In the ALCS, they were down 2-1, and they won 7 in a row.
This is all.
To the Mariners?
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that feel encouraging?
Was that 98?
Do you feel...
The Mariners? No, that was 95.
No, that was 95.
Do you remember the 2001 Mariners? They won
116 games.
They were down 2-1 in the ALCS.
Well, there you go.
And then they lost the next two games. Okay. Their season was over.
You're not going in the right direction. So you've gone in the wrong direction.
I got something positive.
There's that one, too.
Jake Arrieta, after the game tonight, saying, quote, I like our chances, and, quote, I'll pitch again this season.
Okay.
All right.
Which means it's going back to Wrigley Field in his mind.
Here we go. Here's a list of 100-win teams.
I like his positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Here, how about this, Patty? 100-win teams since 1985 that were down 2-1. In the championship series.
Okay.
05 Cardinals lost in 6 to the Astros.
I was going to say, they didn't win.
01 Mariners.
Nope. Lost.
Lost to the Yanks. 98 Yanks, 1-6 over the Indians. 97 Braves, lost in 6.
To the Marlins.
95 Indians.
Lost.
They won. They won, didn't they? They went to the series, didn't they?
In the World Series, they lost in 6 games to the Braves.
Right. Well, so what series are we talking about?
I'm sorry, World Series or the championship.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because they lost when they were down 2-1.
Yeah.
Let's
see, 98 A's.
Lost.
Yep. 86 Mets.
Won.
Correct. 85 Cardinals.
Lost.
Won. Beat the Dodgers.
Okay, but they lost in the World Series.
And they lost in the World Series. Yeah. So we have a mixed bag. It might happen. It might not happen.
Thanks, sir. Proven nothing.
Yeah, I like how you wrap yourself in the comfort of your stats.
That was like driving around.
Don't mean anything.
That
was like driving around a cul-de-sac forward and then backwards just for the heck of it.
There was nothing to learn there other than there's many situations where teams have won 100 and have been down 2-1 in
the
series.
Can I give you something possibly more significant, but still don't know if I'm buying it?
I'll take whatever you're dishing.
It's not positive.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Well,
this is from Bruce Levine. The Cubs have never won an NLCS game in the state of California.
Oof.
They're 0-7.
How dare Bruce bring that up?
They lost.
Which means they're due.
They are due.
Yes, that's what that means. It doesn't mean they won't. Just because they haven't doesn't mean they won't. It's not. That's not somehow. It has no relation to it. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different group of people.
I agree.
I'm saying.
Do I hear music?
Yeah, that means it's almost the top of the hour.
That means
zip it.
No, it doesn't mean zip it. It means
soothing.
It means wind down a little bit. Yeah. See?
Patty, I'd like to thank you personally for this therapeutic hour.
I'd like to thank you for the donuts. Forget about the therapeutic hour. I like
cookies,
the donuts. Thank
cookies
you.
From Max and Benny's tomorrow night.
All right. Ooh.
Yeah, I heard your plea for sugar, and I decided to.
What can we bring you tomorrow?
Just hugs. Just hugs and a Cubs win.
Cubs
yes.
win, yep.
I don't, you can't bring that. But.
What about a nice pizza? Would you like a pizza tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do pizza. Right, I'll be here for the game with you guys, I think.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, all right. And more with the True Blue Playoffs Plus, more on 720.